Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Welcome to our special Christmas program with me, Jan Richter. In the Czech Republic, Christmas Eve is celebrated as Štědrý den, or Generous Day, when the family Christmas tree is first lit, baby Jesus brings everyone presents, and people sit down to the traditional fare of fish soup, carb with potato salad and cookies. Ever since the TV became commonplace in Czech households some 60 years ago, a new Christmas tradition has developed as well, watching fairy tales throughout the entire holidays. The Three Gifts for Cinderella from 1973 is perhaps the most popular Czech fairy tale of all times. Set in winter, the well-known story adds to the Christmas atmosphere, making people flock to their TV screens year after year. But there are many others. The Czech fairy tale landscape is inhabited by scores of princesses and princes, dull Johns who save the day, vodníks or water goblins, silly old devils, dragons, and in one case at least, a princess who liberates her future husband from the snares of hell. I sit down with leading Czech expert on fairy tales, folklorist Petr Janáček of Prague's Charles University, who told me television, in fact, saved the fairy tale as we know it.
And remained saved, basically, the saved fairy tale from extinction. The myths and legends are extinct now, but fairy tales are still today and just blossoming. When you look at the traditional fairy tales of Europe or Indo-European space, there were not many fairy tales. There were exactly 2,500 fairy tales. But if you look to literally TV, filmic fairy tales, there are much more than 2,000 fairy tales. There are tens of thousands, maybe millions of fairy tales. So now fairy tales are much more popular and much more important, I think, than in the oral past of our ancestors.
Indeed, the public broadcaster Czech TV alone this year screens 9 feature fairy tale films just on the 24th of December, including a premiere of The Salt Ghost, a TV production based on Hans Christian Andersen's famous fairy tale The Tinderbox. In Czech folklore, the best-known fairy tale collections come from the 19th-century writers Božena Němcová and Karel Jaromír Erben. Božena Němcová, the author of the seminal novel The Grandmother, collected 7 volumes of folktales while she was living in southern Bohemia in the 1840s. One of the most popular to this day is The Devil and Kate, as translated and retold by Parker Fillmore nearly 100 years ago.
There was once a woman named Kate who lived in a village where she owned her own cottage and garden. She had money besides, but little good it did her, because she was such an ill-tempered vixen that nobody, not even the poorest labourer, would marry her. Nobody would even work for her, no matter what she paid, for she couldn't open her mouth without scolding, and whenever she scolded, she raised her shrill voice until you could hear it a mile away. The older she grew, the worse she became, until by the time she was 40, she was as sour as vinegar.
After the unflattering beginning comes a dramatic passage when Kate meets the devil, for no one else would dance with her.
Suddenly, a stranger in hunter's green came in. He sat down at a table near Kate and ordered drink. When the serving maid brought the beer, he reached over to Kate and asked her to drink with him. At first she was much taken back at this attention. Then she pursed her lips coyly and pretended to refuse, but finally she accepted. When they had finished drinking, he pulled a ducat from his pocket, tossed it to the piper and called out, "Clear the floor, boys. This is for Kate and me alone."
The devil takes Kate to hell with him, but she clings onto him so hard that he just can't get rid of her. The Prince of Hell punishes him by sending him back to Earth to find a way of getting her off him. Fortunately, he meets a wise shepherd.
The shepherd, who was a good-natured chap, said, "I tell you what, I'll help you. I can't leave my sheep long, but I'll carry her halfway." "Oh," said the devil, "I'd be very grateful if you did." So the shepherd yelled at Kacha, "Hi there, you, catch hold of me." When Kacha saw that the shepherd was a handsome youth, she let go of the devil and leapt upon the shepherd's back, catching hold of the collar of his sheepskin coat. Now the young shepherd soon found that the long shaggy coat and Kacha made a pretty heavy load for walking. In a few moments he was sick of his bargain and began casting about for some way of getting rid of Kacha. Presently he came to a pond, and he thought to himself that he'd like to throw her in. He wondered how he could do it. Perhaps he could manage it by throwing in his greatcoat with her. The coat was so loose that he thought he would slip out of it without Kacha's discovering what he was doing. Very cautiously he slipped out one arm. Kacha didn't move. He slipped out the other arm. Still Kacha didn't move. He unlooped the first button. Kacha noticed nothing. He unlooped the second button. Still Kacha noticed nothing. He unlooped the third button, and kaplunk! He had pitched coat and Kacha and all into the middle of the pond.
The shepherd goes on to use the devil's debt to him to threaten the evil lord of the land and to reform him. He then successfully uses the threat of Kate to drive away the devil, who comes to take the lord to hell. The Devil and Kate is a classic among Czech fairy tales, but folklorist Petr Janeček says there is in fact no such thing as a Czech fairy tale.
From the point of view of folklore studies, all European fairy tales are the same. We have 2,500 fairy tales which can be found in every European country or Indo-European country from Ireland till India or Urals mountain range. So it's quite difficult to say there is some Czech fairy tale. Because most so-called Czech fairy tales we can find in Poland, in Germany. It will be more precise to talk about like the Western Slavic fairy tales or Central European fairy tales. Hmm. It will be hard to find typical Czech fairy tales. We can find the most popular Czech fairy tale, which is popular now, but 100 years ago, maybe other fairy tale was popular. The differences between, let's say, national repertoires of folk tales, it's not because of the nationality or ethnicity, it's because of civilization process. So if we go to the east, for example, even to Slovakia, they have more archaical fairy tales, they have much more magical beings or magical items in the fairy tales, they have much more dragons, they have much more witches in the fairy tales. And if we go to Russia, there are much more. And if we go the other side, to the west, German fairy tales, comparing to Czech, are slightly more realistic. If you go to France, they are even more realistic. They have slightly humorous, ironic twist. And then you can continue west to Great Britain, which has almost no fairy tales. Or people believed for a long time that there were no fairy tales in Great Britain because of the early start of the Industrial Revolution. So it's because of the civilization and the industry and urbanization. But originally, all the fairy tales in Europe were basically the same.
You were talking, however, about a specific feature of Czech fairy tales, which is humor. Are Czech fairy tales known for being funny or humorous?
Czech literary fairy tale, which has been rewritten or written by writers since 19th century, quite appeal on the humorous side of them. Yeah, it's very typical if we compare Czech written literary fairy tales with, for example, Brothers Grimm fairy tales, they appear to be much grimmer, yes, darker than the Czech, but the plots are the same. I don't think the Czech are much more humorous. Maybe the supernatural beings are not much scary in the fairy tales, but the same is in German fairy tales or Austrian fairy tales. When we talk about European folk tales, we have first written sources, exemplar from the 14th and 15th century, and it serves as some kind of moral tale to illustrate some Christian teachings. So it basically serves different function than fairy tales today. But we have ethnographical collections of fairy tales in other cultures, and we can distinguish one single most important trait of or function of fairy tale, it's entertainment. Fairy tale equates the popular TV series, computer games, or like the trivial literature of today.
How did Christian teachings sort of exemplified in an entertaining form? How did they develop into these fairy tales we know, as you mentioned, Cinderella or Hansel and Gretel?
The Christian form of exemplar wasn't the first and original. It's just the first written source, but these folk tales were historically much older. We do not know when exactly the fairy tales appeared in human culture. We know that most European folk tales or fairy tales stems from ancient India. We have the book called Panchatantra. It's sort of Buddhistic teachings, some pedagogical book for young princes. And most of best-known European fairy tales are found there. We have many theories about the origin of the fairy tales. Some scholars say they originated in the Neolithic age because they are really closely connected with the rites regarding harvest and regarding weddings. So some scholars, for example, Jan de Vries, a famous Dutch folklorist, say that the first folk tales served as text connected with wedding rituals. When someone wants to marry some famous daughter, he has to prove his worth. Yeah. Because of that, these fairy tales are full of tests and contents and fights with monsters. He has to prove his worth to marry a girl and get a field, get a land.
In one such story, also made into a popular movie, a cunning cook called Jiřík outsmarts a self-conceited and treacherous king to marry Princess Zlatovláska, the golden-haired. Jiřík disobeys the king's orders and nibbles at a magic fish, which made him able to understand the speech of all animals. But the king finds out and sends Jiřík on a dangerous quest. He must bring Zlatovláska for the king to marry.
His road led him through a forest. Here he came upon a bush under which some shepherds had kindled a fire. Sparks were falling on an anthill nearby, and the ants in great excitement were running hither and thither with their eggs. Jiřík, they cried, help, help, or we shall all be burned to death, we and our young ones in the eggs. Jiřík instantly dismounted, cut down the burning bush, and put out the fire. Thank you, Jiřík, thank you, the ants said. Your kindness to us this day will not go unrewarded. If ever you are in trouble, think of us, and we will help you.
Jiřík also saves some starving birds and fish, and eventually arrives at the Crystal Palace, where Zlatovláska lives with her royal father. But he must prove himself worthy before the king allows his daughter to go away with him.
My daughter, Zlatovláska, had a precious necklace of pearls. She was walking in the meadow over yonder when the string broke and the pearls rolled away in the tall grasses. Now your task is to gather up every last one of those pearls and hand them to me before sundown. Jiřík went to the meadow, and when he saw how broad it was and how thickly covered with tall grasses, his heart sank, for he realized that he could never search over the whole of it in one day. However, he got down on his hands and knees and began to hunt. Midday came and he had not yet found a single pearl. Oh dear, he thought to himself in despair. If only my aunts were here, they could help me. He had no sooner spoken than a million little voices answered, "We are here, and we are here to help you." And sure enough, there they were, the very ants that he supposed were far away. "What do you want us to do?" they asked. "Find me all the pearls that are scattered in this meadow. I can't find one of them." Instantly, the ants scurried hither and thither, and soon they began bringing him the pearls one by one. Ježík strung them together until the necklace seemed complete. "Are there any more?" he asked. He was about to tie the string together when a lame ant, whose foot had been burned in the fire, hobbled up, crying, "Wait, Ježík, don't tie the string yet. Here's the last pearl."
The brave youth, as it were, fulfills all the king's tasks with the help of the animals he saved, and eventually brings Zlatoláska to his master with two precious gifts, the water of death and the water of life. But the revengeful king has Ježík killed, not knowing what turn events will take.
Zlatovláska took Ježík's body and the head and put them together. Then she sprinkled them with the water of death. Instantly, the wound closed, and soon it healed so completely that there wasn't even a scar left. Ježík lay there lifeless, but looking merely as if he was asleep. Zlatovláska sprinkled him with the water of life, and immediately his dead limbs stirred. Then he opened his eyes and sat up. Life poured through his veins, and he sprang to his feet, younger, fresher, handsomer than before. The old king was filled with envy. "I too," he cried, "wish to be made young and handsome." He commanded the executioner to cut off his head, and he told Zlatovláska to sprinkle him afterwards with the water of life. The executioner did as he was told. Then Zlatovláska sprinkled the old king's head and body with the water of life. Nothing happened. Zlatovláska kept on sprinkling the water of life until there was no more left. "Do you know," the princess said to Ježík, "I believe I should have used the water of death first." So now she sprinkled the body and head with the water of death, and sure enough, they grew together at once. But of course there was no life in them. And of course there was no possible way of putting life into them, because the water of life was all gone. So the old king remained dead.
In the end, Ježík inevitably becomes the king, marries Zlatovláska, the golden-haired, and they live together happily ever after. Zlatovláska, the golden-haired, has all the elements that make a good fairy tale. Folklorist Petr Janeček says it's an example of the most common type of fairy tale.
We have few genres of fairy tales. The most popular and most important are the magic tales. Most folk tales are magic tales, epic, long stories with happy ending. Then we have so-called animal tales. They are usually aimed for younger children. For example, I don't know, Three Pigs and the Wolf. It's typical animal tale. We don't know how they originate. It's quite a distinct genre. Maybe they are somehow connected with myths about totemic animals, which we found in Africa and other parts of the world. Maybe they are connected to the fables, like Aesop fables or La Fontaine fables. Then we have so-called realistic tales. Interestingly, most folk tales or fairy tales doesn't contain any magic elements. Most of them are realistic. It's about some stupid John and Hansel Gretel. Okay, there is a witch, but most folk tales appear to be quite realistic, and that's other genre. And then we have some smaller genres like formula tales, catch tales. They basically play only with language. They are also aimed to young children. And I forgot one big genre. It's jokes and anecdotes. jokes we tell today, it's for us folklorists, jokes are just kind of fairy tale.
Even the jokes that people tell each other in the pub, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because jokes today have the same traits as folk tales. They are very short, yes, compared to the folk tales or fairy tales, but they are fictions. They use some items from reality. We have some joke, for example, when Barack Obama, Vladimir Putin meets each other. They are real persons, yes, but the situation is abstract, it's fictions. Nobody believes that this joke ever happened. And most of today's jokes are just shortened versions of old fairy tales. So formally, today jokes are fairy tales.
That's fascinating. Is message important in fairy tales? I mean, you know, the sort of moral lesson or any kind of lesson that the listener is supposed to learn from that?
Originally, no. Fairy tales are entertainment. So there can be any message as you wish. You have Freudian explanation, you have Jungian explanation. But we know all over the world, even today, fairy tales are used for pure entertainment. And they can serve other function to have some moral meanings, but it seems that only culture which is fascinated by the moral message of the fairy tales or some deeper meaning of the fairy tales is our own European or Euro-American culture.
When we take one of the most popular fairy tales, definitely the film rendering of which has been voted many times as the most popular fairy tale of all, which is in the Czech Republic, which is Cinderella, of course, that does sort of convey a message or a lesson for people, highlighting modesty in search of success rather than some kind of excessive activity in seeking success. Has the message been the same since the start? Has it survived all those centuries?
Cinderella is quite difficult. The fairy tale called Cinderella now appeared in the 10th century in ancient China, so probably is of Chinese origin. We can still find some remnant of this Chinese origin because of the importance of the shoe. Because if you probably know that in China, the prettiest girl has the smallest feet. Mm. Yeah, so there were some quite cruel devices to make feet smaller. But this fairy tale track a long way around history, around centuries, and originally there were not much modesty. The oldest European version of Cinderella it's from 17th century, from Italy, from Naples, and it's quite different from what we know today. For example, Cinderella, in the beginning, Cinderella kills her stepmother, cutting her head off. Yeah, so it's not talking about modesty. Yeah, this tale was polished in the 18th and the 19th century, and now it appears as it is. There is moral in fairy tale, but the most important moral is that the main hero or heroine always win, no matter the cost.
Okay.
No matter the lives of the others.
Czech fairy tales were first made into films in the 1950s. The very first of them, Pyšná princezna, or Proud Princess, premiered in September 1952. At that time, however, film, as well as other official art, was under a heavy influence of communist ideology. In The Proud Princess, for example, the heroine undergoes a transformation from a selfish aristocrat into a true woman of the people. Another fairy tale movie from that time, The Princess with the Golden Star from 1959, strikes the nationalist chord. It features an evil king of a neighboring empire who threatens to invade if his will is not fulfilled. The very arrival of the king is reminiscent of the Nazi occupation. Czechoslovak communists, however, were apparently not unique in using fairy tales for propaganda purposes, says Petr Janeček.
Every political regime which wants to influence like the minds of the people use fairy tales. It's not just the communist Czechoslovakia. You can point to many political regimes even now which use fairy tales for political purposes. It's good because they are just the popular stories, everyone knows them, and they are aimed for the children. So you can influence even young children by ideology you want. Even Nazis used very widely fairy tales to propagate National Socialism. We have been talking about that before. The fairy tales are what we made of them, basically. The plots are there for centuries, maybe thousands of years, and every culture, every historical period change functions of the of these well-known stories. So if you look to the communist fairy tales, they have some anti-German elements in them. They have some socialist ideas there. In fairy tales, you can find everything you want. If you want socialism, it's there. It's about poor people winning over rich people. You want nationalism, it's there. Yeah, we are Czechs, we are like the good, and the evil ones are Germans. So you can change it like you wish.
Despite the marked communist undertones, both the Proud Princess and the Princess with the Golden Star remain among the most popular fairy tales with Czech viewers. Both films are also on Christmas Eve. The TV fairy tale galore begins on the 24th of December and goes on for days until the New Year's Eve. Folklorist Petr Janeček says wintertime has traditionally been devoted to storytelling, but the Czechs do seem to have a passion for watching fairy tales on TV at this time.
Fairy tales were usually told after the war, and winter, Advent or Christmas time was time when people didn't have much work. They usually doing something at home, and they can entertain themselves by fairy tales. So the connection Christmas fairy tale is not so modern, new or artificial. It was there. Maybe quite unique is the Czech tradition of watching fairy tales on TV during Christmas. Most nations watch some movies during the Christmas, but we watch movies which are very close to original folk tales. It's quite distinct. Only maybe in Scandinavia there is similar tradition, like in the Czech Republic, to watch traditional fairy tales on TV during the Christmas.
And that brings us to the end of our Christmas special here on Radio Prague. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know if you did, and share with us your favorite fairy tales. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. But for now, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Na to, aby se brečelo.